Ladies and gentlemen, people go to church every week in this country, and they go home after church lost and on their way to hell because church doesn't save. Being a Baptist, a Methodist, or Catholic doesn't save. Praying a prayer, getting baptized, joining the church doesn't save. You say, then, Randy, how can you know you're saved? Well, I do have good news for you. You can know you're saved. But did you know that that runs contrary to most teaching from most churches, even some Baptist churches? You ask anybody from any Methodist church, Nazarene church, Pentecostal, Charismatic church, Catholic church, any other church, and even some Baptist churches, you ask them this question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You know what 9 out of 10 of them would say? Well, I hope so. Well, I think so. Well, maybe so. Well, I'm praying so. Well, I'm working on it. Well, I sure hope I make it. Well, I try to do better, and I know maybe if I do better, I'm going to make it. Well, my daddy told me I would. Well, my mom, well, my pastor said I'm okay. Well, I think I will. Did you know that none of that is in the Bible? The Bible doesn't say you can think or you can hope or maybe. The Bible says you can know. K-N-O-W. That you're saved. You read the book of 1 John this week. In 1 John, just 5 short chapters. It'll just take you a few minutes to read the whole book. And 56 times in 5 short chapters, God says no. K-N-O-W. Here's how you can know. Here's how you can know. Here's how you can know. Well, how can you know? You heard my testimony last month. Raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. Out of church, never went to church. Family didn't go to church. Became a drug addict, tried to kill myself, and I got saved. I got saved out of drugs. I got saved off the street. My wife is the opposite. Talk about a good girl. While Cindy McCravey at Eastside Baptist in Coleman, Alabama, they tell me she was the sweetest girl in that whole church. She had a million-dollar smile and taught the special children in Sunday school. No special, challenged, handicapped children loved Miss Cindy, and Miss Cindy loved them. And she taught them out of love for them. Good girl. Walked out at age 9. Prayed the prayer at age 9. Signed the card at age 9. Got baptized, joined the church at age 9. Godly parents. 4 good brothers and sisters. Good Christian family. But thank God. 1983. Cindy realized she is lost. And on her way to hell. And she got saved. She realized she was a good church member. She was a wonderful Baptist, but not born again. Thank God she got saved. I'm glad my wife isn't just a good Baptist. I'm glad she's born again. Somebody said, Randy, how can we know? Do what Paul said. What did he say in verse 5? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul said, examine yourself to make sure you are in the faith. Take a test. Now, he was saying this out of a burden in his heart for people in the church that said they were saved but acted like they were lost. Yeah, they were taking communion and getting drunk in church, swapping wives, getting high, getting stoned, getting drunk, cursing, living in profanity, being immoral. And Paul was burdened about the church. I'm not talking about folks tonight. This morning, sleeping hangovers off this morning, and they're not in church. We're talking about people in the church. You know, the greatest way to start this meeting is to see a bunch of church members get saved. You say, Randy, you going to try to confuse us? Not at all. If you're really saved, it doesn't matter what I say. There's no way I could confuse you. No, this will be the opposite. This will serve to do the opposite. This will only confirm your salvation. Instead of confused, if you listen. So young people, how many of you go to school tomorrow? Raise your hand. Do we have school tomorrow? You go to school tomorrow? You're going to hate me right now. I'm going to say your least favorite 2 words. At least when I was in school, they were my least favorite words. Are you ready? Teacher gets up, says, put your books away. Pop quiz! Oh, I hated that. Because I was never ready. I never did my homework. I was outstanding in high school. Always outstanding in the hallway. Okay, I'll stop. I'll be here all week. But anyway, Nothing wrong with high school, just the principal thing. All right, that's it, no more. But pop quiz. Take out a pen and pencil now. I'll wait. No, seriously. Everybody. Pastor, deacons, Sunday school teachers, visitors, men, women, teenagers. Find a pen or pencil. I'm waiting. Now take out something to write on. If you don't have a pen or pencil, borrow one. If you don't have one, if you don't have one and you can't find one, don't freak out. You can do this in your mind and your heart. It's not a federal law that you have to have a pen or pencil, but it will be helpful. Are you ready? On a sheet of paper, or maybe you want to do it in a blank page of your Bible, in the front or back. Write down on the top how I can know I'm saved. The next time the devil tempts you and tries to make you doubt your salvation, you can pull this out and look at it. Because every one of these questions are right from the Word of God, most of them from the book of 1 John. This is not my theory, my opinion, my sermon. This is straight from God's Word. How many believe the Bible is God's Word? Say amen. On the top of it, put how I can know I'm saved. Then underneath that on the left side, just put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to ask 5 quick questions. All you have to do, and you don't even have to write the question if you don't want to. If you want to, for future reference, feel free to write the question, but at least write down the answer. And here's how you answer it. Honestly. And the honest answer is simply yes or no. If at all possible, after I ask the question and explain it, put down yes or no. Now, if there's no way you can put yes or no, if it's like a maybe, I'm not sure, sometimes, kind of, then put question mark or maybe or whatever. But try your best to put yes or no. Everybody understand, class? Are you ready? Now, wait a minute. This is really a pretty intense test because this is not graded like some teachers. You know, in your school, I'm sure if you take a 5-question quiz, you miss one. What's that? 80%. What's that in your school? A C? B? B minus? Miss one question? In this test, you miss one question, you don't get an A or B or C or D. You flunk. But you don't get an F. You get hell. Forever. My son played in a basketball tournament yesterday. I got to go see him. I loved it. Don't get to see a lot of his games. Starting point guard for Coleman Christian School. He thinks he's good. I told him he's white. Tried baseball, but he's pretty good. He scored 16 points, got 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals. I don't have that memorized. Because eyes in the back of his head. He can dish that ball to anybody. And if he can't dish it, he'll drain. 3 3-pointers he tried, made all 3. Pardon me while I brag. But after the game, I took him home. He got in the car, and as he got in the car, he went, oh, oh, oh. He got a cramp. He had never had one before. It was his first cramp. I mean, he was dying. Deb, what's happening? What's happening? My leg, oh, what? I said, well, it's a cramp. It's a hammy, man. We call it hammies. Us athletes. You did not have to laugh that much. When we first got married, my wife called me her hunk. Now she calls me her chunk. But she, oh, he was in, oh, I feel, I said, sorry, Will, it'll be over in a few seconds. Just sit there. Stretch out if you can. Ah! And then the residual pain, you know. And after about an hour, I said, Will, remember that cramp? He said, oh, I don't want to ever feel that pain again. I said, imagine if it didn't last 20 seconds. Imagine it lasted like an hour. Whoa. I said, imagine a day and a whole night. Imagine feeling that pain, not just in your leg, but all of your body and every muscle for a week. Try a month or a year. a year? How about 10 years, 100,000? How about filling for a million? About 10, about a billion, 10, about 100 billion? How about 100? How about 900 trillion years? And after 900 trillion years of that intense pain, it doesn't get better, get worse, and you know it's just going to last forever. He said, I can't imagine that. I said, then don't go to hell. Because hell is about a billion times worse than that. Amen? You see, what we're getting ready to do is pretty important. Matter of fact, it's more important than anything in the world ever. We're not seeing how we have a happy family. We can check that out later. But for right now, we're going to find out, are we going to heaven or hell? How many think that's important? I'm going to ask the questions. And when I ask the question, do not answer it. Let me explain it from the Bible, because they're loaded questions and you're going to think you know the answer, but after you hear it from the Bible, maybe you're not sure. So here's the first question. Are you ready? Just put yes, no, or I'm not sure, or question mark, or maybe. But don't answer it yet. Let me explain it from the Bible. Question number one. Question number one. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior? Wait a minute, don't answer that. I asked 10 people down in Talladega tomorrow morning. 9 out of 10 would probably say, oh yeah, I've done that. After all, I'm an American. We celebrate Christmas and Easter. Sure, we believe in Jesus. Somebody said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I was born in America. I'm a Christian. I was born into a Christian family. I'm a Christian. So you're born a Krispy Kreme. That makes you a donut? No. Doesn't matter where you're born. You're going to be born again. Now, don't answer that yet. I said, it's loaded. Did you hear me? I said, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only, and I lift one phrase out, as the only Son of God and Lord of your life? Let me ask it again. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Son of God and Lord of your life? Do you know you have to believe that Jesus Christ was God, is God, and always shall be God? Do you know that's what separates Bible-believing Christians from Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and many other cults? We believe Jesus was God, is God, and always will be God. Amen? How many believe that? Say amen. I didn't say, do you believe about it? I said, do you believe on? How many believe that Jesus Christ was eternity past? He's the one that snapped his fingers and sparks flew and stars were formed. He's the one that pushed up the mountains and dug to the valleys and filled up the ocean and breathed in a man the breath of life. He's the one that made this world. He's the one that owns this world. He's the one that came to this world, born of a virgin mother named Mary, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, nailed to a rugged tree, shed his blood for our sin, was buried, dead, and buried for 3 days. And on the third day, he kicked the devil in the teeth, and he rose from the dead, and he lives forever. Let me believe that. Say amen. Well, pat yourself on the back. The devil believes that too. And the book of James says the devil believes and trembles and will spend eternity in hell. It's not enough just to believe that. 72% of all Americans believe that, according to Time magazine. Over 90% of people in Alabama believe that, according to George Barna, church growth expert. Most of the people in this county believe that. But most of the people in this county are not going to go to heaven. They're going to go to hell. And many of them are in church right now. I didn't say it. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go there. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and just a few go there. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Son of God and Lord of your life? I didn't say about, on. You know why I said that? Because Jesus said it. In John chapter 3, verse 36. In John 3, 36, Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath not, he that believeth not on the Son hath not life, but he that believeth on the Son hath life. Let me ask you something. Have you believed on him? Have you trusted in him? Have you given your life to him? Have you believed on the Son rather than just about the Son? A minute ago, you all just said amen. I believe that. But that's not going to get you to heaven. You see this chair? As long as I've lived, as far as I know, I've never sat in this chair. But I bet some of you have. And maybe you're not a lardo like me, but it held you up. And you know what I think? I think it'll probably hold me up. Matter of fact, in my mind, in my head, I mentally, intellectually believe in my mind it makes sense this chair can hold me up because I know it's held others up. I know it's got a good back. It's got a good seat. It's got four good metal legs. Well, yeah, I've come to the conclusion. This chair can hold me up. But you know what I can't do? I can't stand behind this pulpit and preach. That chair can hold me up. You know why I can't say it? Because I haven't done what? I haven't trusted it. I haven't sat in it. You've heard it all your life. You know about it. You believe it. You've been taught it. Maybe you could preach it better than I can. Maybe you know the Bible better than I do. But have you trusted in Him alone? You know what I'm going to do? On the count of three, I'm going to do what I'm praying some of you do in a few minutes. I'm going to move knowledge in my head to faith in my heart. On the count of three, I'm just going to trust by faith that chair. And if it doesn't hold me up, I will fall, break my neck, and you will look at me like a big idiot, which I would be if that were to occur. Please don't laugh. Are you ready? One. Some people got to check it out first, don't they, Pastor? Two. Some of you kids were here last time I was here. Some of you may have gotten mad at me. Did you booby trap this chair? You look very suspicious. I'm just going to have to trust this chair. Three. Shoo. Now you know what I can do? I can stand up. And I can preach behind this pulpit. That chair can hold me up. You know why? Because it held me up. I trusted it. I placed my faith in it. I gave my life to it. I sat down on it and it held me up. And over 30 years ago, I leaned back into the arms of Jesus. I didn't understand it all. I didn't have Him all figured out. I didn't know all about Him. But I trusted Him and He held me up and He hadn't let go yet. Somebody say amen. Take that, devil. Amen. I trusted Jesus. Not you, not the church, not my family, not my friends. Jesus. Jesus said He'd never let me down. And He never let me go. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Don't answer it yet. Because I put a kicker on the end. Have you believed it? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as the only Son of God and Lord of your life? You know what the word Lord means? It means master, controller, boss man. I'm taking over. I'm running the show. I'm telling you how to live. I'm telling you when to go to bed and when to get up and what to read or look at and listen to when you do get up. I'm going to tell you what to have on your playlist on your iPod. I'm going to tell you what to have on your DVR that you've recorded. I'm going to tell you what kind of networks to have from the satellite or the cable provider. I'm going to tell you what kind of friends to have. I'm going to tell you what kind of drinks to drink. I'm going to tell you what to drink, what to not drink, not to smoke. I'm going to tell you everything. I am boss, says Jesus. I own you, says Jesus. He is Lord. Can I ask you a question? Who's running your life? Well, give me your phone. I can tell you in about 20 seconds He's running your life. Let me look at your playlist. Let me find out who you're listening to. Let me see your text messages. Let me check out your Facebook page. Let me see your bedroom for 30 seconds. And I know who's running your life. Folks, you can fool me, you can fool everybody else, but you can't fool God. God knows the truth, and God knows how you're going to act as soon as you get out of here today. God knows that some people are one way at home, one way at school, one way at church, one way at work, one way on Saturday night, one way on Sunday morning. That's called being a phony. That's called being a hypocrite. That's called playing a game. That's called being fake, putting on a front. And you know what God just wants? God just wants us to be real. Now be real. Answer the question. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Son of God and Lord master of every area of your life. Somebody said, well, I'll get saved and I'll let God save me from hell. Then I'll go live like hell. Then I'll give my life to him as my Lord. Doesn't work like that. You give your life to him as Lord and Savior, or don't give your life to him at all. Jesus Christ cannot be divided. You cannot cut him up and crucify him. He is both Lord and Savior. Amen? Who's running your life? Question number one. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Son of God and Lord of your life right now? Put down yes or no, or I'm not sure, question mark, or maybe. Be honest. Write it down right now on a piece of paper or in your mind or your heart if you don't have a pen or pencil. Question number two, quickly. Do you get convicted by the Holy Spirit every time you sin? Now, wait a minute. Before you answer that, I used to ask it like this. I used to say, do you get convicted every time you sin? Now I say, do you get convicted by the Holy Spirit every time you sin? You know why? Because one day I was reading the Bible, and I found out there's two kinds of convictions. There's worldly conviction or worldly sorrow, and then there's godly sorrow. You know what worldly sorrow is? The Bible says worldly sorrow brings death and damnation and hell. Godly sorrow brings repentance and eternal life in heaven. Well, what's worldly sorrow? Worldly sorrow is when you feel sorry for something that you did that's wrong, and you feel sorry for it when you get caught. I see it every week in churches. Men feeling so bad because their wife read their text message to their lover and found out they were cheating on them. Young people using filthy language, texting other kids, texting sex pictures over their phone, showing private parts over the phone to other kids. Living a lie. Making $100,000 a year and giving $1,000 of it to the church. Making people think they're tithing and they're robbing God. Do you get convicted by the Holy Spirit every time you sin? Do you remember when Jesus died, there were two thieves, one thief on each side? Remember what the thief on the left side said? He said, Lord, if you're really, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God and the King of the Jews, let yourself down and us. You know what that thief wanted? He wanted off the cross. He wanted relief from his pain. What did the other thief say? Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom, right? Which one got saved? Of course, the one that realized he's Lord and the one that cried out for mercy, not the one that wanted relief from their pain. There's some of you in this room, or I wouldn't be preaching this today. God laid it on my heart for somebody here. Maybe one, maybe ten, maybe all. I don't know. But there's somebody in this room. The only time you ever feel bad for anything is when your parents bust you for lying. When your wife finds out. When your husband or your kids find out. When your pastor finds out. When your boss finds out you've been cheating, taking money from work. The only time you feel bad is when you get busted. You know what that's called? That's called worldly sorrow. But you know what godly sorrow is? Godly sorrow is when you do something wrong, and as soon as you do it, God convicts you. Nobody in the world knows, but you know and God knows, and he convicts you. And that happens to everybody that gets saved. I'm going to make a statement. And some of you are going to think this is not biblical. So turn to Hebrews 12 quickly. I'm not going to take as much time on the rest of the questions. I'll finish soon. But I want you to see this in black and white in the Word of God. And some of you are going to think I'm cussing. I'm going to make a statement. It is impossible for anybody in this room, including me and your pastor, to sin and get away with it if we're truly children of God. Impossible. You say, now, Brother Randy, I know I got a couple things in my life isn't right, but it doesn't really bother me. But I know I'm saved. No, you're not, sir. I don't care if you give more money in this church than anybody else combined. You're lost and going to hell. If you can sin and get away with it and never get convicted by God. Pastor, is that a true statement? Look at Hebrews 12, verse 6. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Underline the word every. You know what every means? Every one of us. Chastened and scourged means convicted, disciplined, corrected. Everybody that gets saved gets conviction. Amen? Verse 7 explains it. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, verse 8, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're a bastard. I don't use the word bastard out in public. It's a bad testimony. People don't understand, and we bring reproach to Christ. I don't use that kind of language. But really, the word bastard in this text means today what it meant back then, born out of wedlock. Your parents weren't married when you were born. But it's not talking about that. Not talking about physical birth. It's talking about spiritual birth. And he's saying, when you thought you got born again, you didn't get born again because your father is not God. Your father's the devil. You're a bastard son. You're a bastard daughter. You're a bastard child. God's not your real father. You're a phony. You think I enjoy preaching this? God told me to preach it, and I'm going to preach it. But the president of the Southern Baptist Convention in Atlanta, Georgia, 10 years ago, Reverend James Merritt, pastor of First Baptist Snellville, Georgia, a church membership of over 12,000 people, stood in front of several thousand Baptist pastors in Atlanta with tears in his eyes. And Brother Jim said, I'm president of the largest Protestant denomination in the entire world. I'm pastor of a church of 12,000 church members. And with tears in his eyes, he said, with all my heart, I believe over 80% of the people in our church on Sunday morning are lost and going to hell. And he said, most of them think they're going to heaven, and it breaks my heart. He said, if just our church members that attend every Sunday tithe, we'd have a surplus 10 times what our budget needs. But he said, we can't even meet our budget. He said, you tell me, are they saved? He said the divorce rate among our people is worse than the divorce rate of the person that doesn't go to church in Atlanta, Georgia. He said there's constant rumors of affairs flying all over the place in our church. And he has one of the greatest churches in this country. I've been there. I've preached there. It's a great church. Great people. Wake up, folks. Jesus Christ is real. And if he's real with you, he'll change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is not good grammar, but it's great Bible. If you still are what you were, you ain't. Amen? If you still are what you were, you ain't. Because when you get saved, you get changed. I'll give you this much. Everybody's not like me. Everybody doesn't get off drugs and become evangelists. I understand that was kind of extreme. But there's going to be a change. Amen. You ask Toby Brogdon in Greenwood Baptist Church today. He talks to me every week. He said, Brother Randy, since I got saved and my own church is revival, our family is closer than it's ever been. Our church is growing greater than it's ever been. My messengers are anointed by the Holy Spirit like never before. He has had the opportunity to speak in several pastors' conferences, and God has used him greatly in these giving his testimony. He was a lost pastor for 7 years. And he said, Randy, I did everything right. I went to church. I prayed the prayer. I got baptized. I joined the church. I went to seminary. I did everything right. But it wasn't real inside. He said, now it's real. Aren't you tired, ma'am, of going to bed every night wondering that if you die while you're asleep, you won't wake up in heaven? You'll go to hell. Aren't you tired of struggling and wrestling with it? Get it settled today. Come to Christ and be saved for sure, forever. He said, Randy, I don't want to come forward because if I admit I'm not really saved, the pastor will be embarrassed. He led me to Christ. He won't be embarrassed. I've known this guy. He's going to love you and hug on you and thank God you got it settled. And everybody else will too. Amen? Nobody's going to be embarrassed. They're going to be glad you got it settled. You know, my wife told me, she said, Randy, you know why I waited so many years to admit I was a phony? I was scared I'd bring reproach on my family. But she said, when I got really honest with God, admitted I was a lost church member, my family just ran and hugged on me and accepted me. Don't you let the devil tell you that somebody's going to say something. Don't you worry about what they say. Don't you go to hell for anybody. Question number one, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God and Lord of your life? Question number two, do you get convicted every time you sin by the Holy Spirit? Answer yes or no right now. Or I don't know, or maybe your question mark, but be honest. Be honest. Question number three. Question number three. Do you love Jesus more than you love the world? Now, wait a minute. Don't answer that yet, because I'm trying to be nice here. I want you to come back tonight and bring friends. Come back tomorrow night and bring friends. Hey, it's going to start at 6. You'll be out in plenty of time. Take your bath and go to bed and do your homework. Amen. So don't miss a night. I want you to come back. But folks, if I preach this the way the Bible teaches it, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say, do you love Jesus more than you love the world? I would say, who do you love? Jesus or the world? Because that's what Jesus said. That's what God said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. What did he say? He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, period. You say, what do you mean? Do you love the way the world does things more than the way God does things? Would you rather be with the world's people than with God's people? Do you love worldly music more than godly music? Do you love worldly amusement and worldly entertainment more than godly entertainment? Some of you are much more comfortable with worldly, ungodly people. And Jesus said in John 15, 19, if the world would have loved his own, I would not have taken you out of this world, but I've chosen you out of this world. Therefore, the world hateth you if you're truly saved. This world is antagonistic and hostile toward us. If you're saved, you're going to be different. I was in Bristol, Tennessee, and I'll just give you the other two questions quickly, and I won't preach them, and I'll pray in a moment, but I want you to see this. Question number three, do you love Jesus more than you love the world? Listen to me. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not in you. It means you're not saved. Can you go to a ball game or watch a ball game on TV for 2, 3, 4 hours? And the longer it goes, the more excited you get. But yet in church, the longer it goes, the more anxious you get to leave. Who really makes you happy? Amen? Auburn, Alabama, or Jesus? Auburn will let you down. Alabama will let you down. Jesus doesn't let you down. I got a buddy up at Penn State University. He's a chaplain for one of the student groups there. And he says, Randy, God is using this like you wouldn't believe. Kids are staying up all night wanting to know what's going on at Penn State. How could a guy that everybody thought so highly of be such a filthy, wicked pervert? He said, Randy, God is using this to save college kids all over Penn State University because they realize man cannot help them. Man is weak. Man can be a phony. Man can be a pervert. But God won't let you down. Christ won't let you down. Amen? And you pray for Penn State. It breaks my heart. I even think about the wickedness. Breaks my heart for those precious kids that were raped in a shower. God help us. I said, God help us. It'll ignite a holy, righteous indignation, a holy, righteous wrath because of the sin our country's in. Young lady in the back, look this way. Listen to me, young man. Mom, Dad, we need revival. Playing church, having a service, getting out, coming back. Nothing. That's got to end. That's got to stop now. You think I came here? I just had an open week. Pastor said it'd be a good time to have a revival. It worked out with the school to have an assembly. No, 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 no. This is Operation Rescue the Perishing. Care for the Dying. Operation Reach people for Jesus. See a church so awakened and come alive this week that will never be the same. All in? Amen. For Christ, His glory, His church. Folks, you realize in the next 4 days, we can see over 100 people get saved. We can see over 100 saved just Wednesday night. Probably will. And every teenager represents an entire family that there's a great chance could be part of this church. Y'all better get ready to build or add another service because God's getting ready to do some great things. Amen? I can't wait to see what God's going to do, but He's got to start with us. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. I was in Bristol, Tennessee. Bunch of people got saved Sunday morning, Sunday night. Monday morning, I went to preach at a Christian school. And 47 Christian teenagers got saved. Isn't it great when Christians get saved? They'll be better Christians. But while I was dealing with those 47 teenagers in the library of the school of all places, I couldn't find the pastor. I looked around. He was in the back by the history books. Great big tall guy. Dr. Burtis Ray. I said, Dr. Ray, 47 kids just got saved. What are you doing back here hiding out? Looked down at me with tears in his eyes. He said, Randy, make that 48. I just got saved. I had lunch with him that day and went back to his office. I said, what was it, Pastor? What did God use in today's message at a Christian high school to show you you're not saved? He said, Randy, you talked about the blood of Christ is the only thing that can wash away sin. He said, Randy, I did my doctoral thesis on the blood of Christ. I went to Christian school and Christian college. I went to New Orleans Seminary and got a master's degree in divinity and a doctorate degree in theology. He said, I did my theological doctoral thesis on the blood of Christ from Genesis to Revelation. He said, I know the Hebrew and the Greek language so well I could do my devotions in them. He said, I traced the blood from Genesis to Revelation, and I proved indisputably nothing can wash sin but the blood of Christ. I said, okay, good. So what did God use to show you're lost? He said, Brother Randy, God showed me today that the blood of Christ has never covered my sin because I can't get victory over it. He said, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've gone to counseling, I've gone to seminars, I've gone to conferences. He says, you know I'm one of the most respected men in the Southern Baptist Convention. I hold office, both state and national office. He said, but today God showed me I was lost and I was fighting sin in the arm and energy of my flesh. I said, how do you know? He pulled out a big drawer in his desk. He threw a big stack of magazines on the table. Filthy, wicked pornography. I said, that's how, Brother Randy. He said, that's how. He said, I've been bound to it for years. He said, but today God gave me the victory because I'm a new child in Christ. He said, now I have a strength beyond my strength. Now I don't have to fight in the arm and injure my flesh. He said, we got something to do. Let's go. He got a great big old 55-gallon drum. He put all that junk in there, put gasoline in it, and lit it on fire. And we had an old-fashioned sin burning in the backyard of the church. After I left, the next Sunday he preached and gave his testimony. The deacons had a deacons meeting that afternoon without their pastor. Ever hear of one of those? And they voted unanimously to fire him. One of the men wrote me back and said, Brother Randy, one of the guys in the deacons meeting said, if we let Dr. Ray stay here in his condition, he's going to end up being like Randy Hogue. We can't have that. I took that as a compliment. They fired him, but don't feel sorry for Dr. Ray. He went down to Merritt Island, Florida. He started winning souls, turning that place upside down. Church runs over 1,000 people now for Jesus. He's saved. Don't feel sorry for him. Feel sorry for the buzzard lost deacons that kicked him out. Amen. And I was being kind by calling you deacons buzzards. I was just trying to be funny there. Hope none of you have a gun on you, because I think you would shoot me right now. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, if you're not sure you're saved, get saved. Question number four. Number three, do you love Jesus more than you love the world? Number four, do you love others? The saints as well as the sinners. 1 John 3:14 says, if a man hates his brother, he's a murderer. Number four. Number five, the last question, I'm done. Number five, do you know that 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 you're saved? Do you know it? God says, now unto him in whom I believe, Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know I'm saved. God's word says I'm saved. I lean on this book for my firm foundation for eternity with Christ. Amen. You can know it, and you can know it today. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a song of invitation. While he comes, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many in this room, how many of you in this room believed I preached the truth today? Raise your hands. It may not have sounded good, but it was the truth, wasn't it? Because it wasn't for me, it was from God's word. Will you please let me pray for you as he plays very softly on the keyboard with heads bowed and eyes closed? I'm going to ask a question, then I'm going to pray. Please be honest today. You can fool me. You can fool your pastor, your friends, your family, but you can't fool God. God knows the truth. I don't care if you've raised your hand every time you've heard this question. Don't raise it today. If you're not sure, quit playing games. Don't be a phony. Don't be a hypocrite. Be honest. From the youngest child to the oldest adult, members, visitors, right where you're seated, ask God to help you to be honest. Here's the question. How many of you in this room could honestly and truthfully say, Brother Randy, there's one thing I know for sure. I'm not 90 or 95 or 99, but I'm 100% sure. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I answered every one of the five questions. Yes, absolutely dogmatic. Yes, for sure, yes. There's no doubt. I know I'm saved. My friends know I'm saved. My family knows I'm saved. God knows I'm saved. And there's no doubt. Some of you are 99% sure, but not 100. Some of you answered every question yes, except one, maybe. How many say, Randy, I'm not 99, I'm 100% sure. I answered every question, yes. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I'm saved, and I'm that sure. Raise your hand as a testimony if you're that sure you're saved. Don't raise it unless you're that sure you're saved. Would you put your hands down? Would you let me pray for you? Thank you for being honest. Many, many of you could not raise your hand. This is a divine appointment. God wants to end your wrestling and struggling and wondering. God wants to put an end to all of it today. God wants to give you peace and assurance. God wants to save you for sure forever. If you couldn't raise your hands, you were honest, would you let me pray for you? How many in this room would say, Brother Randy, to be honest, I did not raise my hand. If I died right now, I would not go to heaven. Or I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I did not answer yes to every question. But I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Zip your hands up right now. All over, raise them up. Every one of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, slip it up. Slip it up. 12, 13, 14, 15, 60, zip them up. Anyone else? Mom, dad, teenagers, church members, visitors. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, young people. Anyone else? Zip it up and right back down. Zip it up, right back down. Anyone else? Zip it up and right back down. Quickly, quickly. Don't let me miss you in this prayer. Thank you in the back. I'm glad I waited. Anyone else? Zip it up. You're not saved. You're not sure, but you don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Slip it up. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you, young lady. Anyone else? God bless you. You could not answer yes to every question, but you don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Slip it up. Anyone else? With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand for this prayer. Everyone standing now. Everyone standing now with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father God, thank you for the powerful presence of your Spirit. Thank you for the tears. Thank you for the broken hearts. Thank you for the truth of your word, the power of your Spirit. Now, God, I pray you'll do what I cannot do. God, give true Holy Ghost conviction. Give biblical heaven-sent repentance. Give changed lives forever. Give assurance of eternal life in Christ. Thank you, Father, for what you're about to do, and for everyone that just raised their hand for prayer. God, I pray for them now. Lord, if they raise their hand, and if they meant it, I believe every one of them meant it. Give them the courage and conviction to do what they'll never be sorry for doing, simply saying yes to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray, believe it. With no one else looking, I want all of you that raised your hands for prayer just to lift your heads and look at me. If you raised your hand for prayer a moment ago, did you mean it, young lady? Did you mean it, sir? Did you mean it, young man? Young people? Young lady? Did you mean it? Back in the back, did you mean it? Over here, did you mean it? Did you mean it? On the count of three, I want you to come and stand right here facing me. One, two, three. Come on, right now. Pastor, would you come? Just stand with them. Counselor, would you come? Pastor, just come and stand right here. Pastor, you come and stand with them. Come on, right now. Any other soul winners, come. Sunday school teachers, deacons, come. Anyone, any adults that know how to lead people to Christ, come and stand with them. Come on, right now. Come on, I prayed for you, ma'am. Come on, young lady, step out. Just say, excuse me, they'll get it. You can get it settled. Just say, excuse me, they'll let you out. Come on, come on. Thank God for this. Thank God for this. Hallelujah. Get it settled. Come with your friend. Come alone if you have to, but come. Don't stand there if you're not sure. I'm going to ask all of you that have come forward, just walk as close as you can to the front. How many of you have come today because you mean it? Your tears tell me you do mean it. God has spoken to your hearts. To be saved is simple as A, B, C. A, admit your sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, we've all sinned and come short of his glory. How many of you will admit you've sinned? Raise your hand. Now, me too. We all have, Pastor. I've known him for years, but he sinned. Because we all have. The letter B stands for believe. Believe on the church, he can't save you. Believe on the pastor, he's a godly man, but he can't save you. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? What do you believe about him? Believe that he's God. Believe that he lived without sin, died for our sin, and rose again to forgive our sin. And you believe that he and he alone can save you. How many believe that about Jesus? Raise your hand. See, that's the problem. Most people believe that. It's not in their heart yet. Are you ready for letter C? That's where God takes the knowledge in our head to faith in our heart. Letter C, confess. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. How many believe if you ask God to save you, he'll save you? Raise your hand. Oh, I know he will. I know he will. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father God, I thank you for all these that have come today and the invitation to accept Christ. Father, I pray that you give Holy Ghost conviction and eternal salvation. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you just to pray this prayer to God out loud. Don't pray to me, pray to God. But don't whisper it, say it out loud. All of you together, you ready? Just repeat after me. Dear God, let's try it again. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, and please save me. I now believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. By your power, I repent. I turn from my sin, and I turn to Jesus Christ. Fill me with your Spirit and use me for your glory. Thank you for saving me. Please use me, God, to tell others about Jesus. Save my friends and family and use me for your glory. Thank you, God, for saving me. And by your power, I'll live for you all the days of my life. How many just prayed that prayer a minute? Raise your hands up high. Did you pray that prayer a minute? You just got saved. Keep your hands up a minute. I want to do something that makes the devil really mad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Anybody out there pray to receive Christ in your seat? Raise your hand if you prayed that prayer. Anyone else? 10 people just got saved. Give the Lord a hand clap. Take that, devil. Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the family of God. I'm your big brother now. Didn't know you had such a fat, ugly, old big brother. Give me your hair. How many of you glad they just got saved? Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Pastor, you know all these folks? Now they're all family. You know what this means now? I'm in your family. That means I can come over to your house anytime I want for dinner free. Let's sing Victory in Jesus while you go back to your seat. Song leader, would you come up here? Where are you? Come on. Let's sing that great song we sang before the message. I heard an old, old story of a Savior who came from glory. While we're singing it, if you want to come pray for somebody, come rededicate your life, join the church, get baptized, whatever the need, the altar's open for anything. If you got the victory today, say, I have the victory. Say amen. Amen. Say, I have the victory. Raise your hand if you mean it. Let's sing it like we mean it. Come on. Don't sing like dead Baptists. Sing like Baptists that are having revival. What page is that?
475.
475. You don't know the word. Sing it. Come on. Heard an old, old story.
I heard an old, old story. How the Savior came from glory.
Amen.
How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Too excited to sit down, run around, and act crazy like Randy Hope. How many glad you came? Say amen.
Amen.
How many glad the Lord came?
Amen.
How many have been praying for this meeting? Raise your hand. We ain't had much time to prepare, but you know what? Short notice is no problem for God. I want to tell you something, folks. I've been praying too. And I've been expecting God to do some great things. To be honest, I'm a little surprised and convicted that I didn't have enough faith to believe God for great things. And guess what? This is just the first service. Glory to God. Don't miss tonight. I don't know who's playing football on TV, but if you have to watch it, record it. But be here tonight. Amen? What time tonight? 6 o'clock.